This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but the day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Jimmy's up first. Jimmy, what you got for us this morning?
Top of the morning to you, fellas. Hey, I think the very fact that we know about this interview screams that he wants to leave. If he wanted to just interview, they could have flew out there and done it, and we wouldn't have even known it unless he took the job. But the fact that it's out tells me that he wants out. And, you know, I would thank him for getting us out of the ditch. Much appreciative of that. But I don't see USC as a lateral move even. I mean, they've got more success in women's basketball than they do men's.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be straight about it. And what is Eric Musselman's buyout at Arkansas? I'm curious to that. I can't remember that. And the last thing is maybe Eric Musselman is a Larry Brown type coach. Very successful, great coach, but everywhere he goes, he has success, and then he wears on people, and he just goes downhill.
Yeah.
And he doesn't stay because they're just ready for him to go, you know. I don't know.
I think that's very accurate, but here, because I think we agree, he's a good coach, right, Jimmy? Great, maybe even a great coach. So why does he have to interview?
Do you think it's just
why would he have to interview?
I think it's a formality.
I agree, especially okay. At USC.
Exactly, my point. So that's one thing about this whole deal. If we put him on the shelf that we have him on, and I think those around college basketball, I mean, it's pretty evident the quality of coach he is. Now, coach and manager of program, those two things go together. You could probably separate those conversations. But if he's all we think he is, why the hell is he having to go for an interview? And why is it so public?
School? Yeah. Not USC.
Do you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe a Kentucky interview, but a USC? To me, that's part of the equation that makes little to no sense.
Do you think it's a formality? Do you think that Schrader, who initially reported it, got inaccurate intel? Not that Musk is going to be in California and Los Angeles, but it's more than just an interview. It's just
the oddest thing today would be him. Of course, he did this at Nevada. He put out pictures and stuff when he was actually interviewing with Arkansas of him practicing with his team at Nevada, which was, you know, a misdirection, if you will. But I don't know. I just come back to that. He's at a level in his career. He's got the resume. That's just you send over the offer sheet, right? If you're USC, you either take it or you don't take it. If you're Musk, He doesn't need to go on a tour of the facilities. He doesn't need to see, hey, how many basketballs you got for practice? You know, do we have a shot clock in here? He doesn't need to see any of that stuff. How big's my coach's office? What's my budget for wardrobe? Now, all, you know, none of that, you know. Uh-uh. Why is he having an interview? Why don't they just offer him the job?
I don't know. That's...
So what do you think the answer is? You've posed the question three or four times this morning.
Well, I don't know that I have the answer. I can speculate and tell you my opinion. I don't know that I've got an answer. But my guess is, much like we talked about this 20 minutes ago, much like when Petrino, we all remember, and I hate to bring up Petrino because he's back as the offensive coordinator. He's in a different role, and there's a difference in being an assistant and being a head coach and how you go about your business. But we all know during the fact and after the fact how demanding he was on everyone around him, players, assistants, the administration. Is that a fair and accurate way to describe how Petrino ran his show? I think Musselman runs that show in a similar fashion. And I think much like we saw the Petrino era, it got to the point where there was just fatigue within the walls of the Broyles Athletic Complex of having to deal with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You think we're to that point with Muss, particularly following a season that didn't go... Now, with Petrino, there wasn't really a season at the end that, you know... Yeah, we were just going to the next level the next year till the motorcycle ran off the road. You can't really compare any of that part, but you can compare, I believe, my opinion only, how the programs have been run. The way those 4 years went with Petrino and the day-to-day operations, and that's all I'm talking about. Day-to-day operations, how people... felt the pressure they were under, the demands of the man in charge. I think there's a lot of similarities in the way this program is run.
Let's talk to Melvin and Sheridan before we get to Richard. Melvin, your thoughts on this whole Eric Musselman saga?
Load the bus and send it west. We deserve better. We need to get on that program y'all was talking about a couple weeks ago. A little bit cheaper, good coach. Put our money in NIL, get our players, and make a great coach. Musselman quit before the last ball game. He can make all them excuses all he wants to. Why didn't he do the press conference and all that? That was already, the sheets were already being separated. You know what I mean? Did I lose y'all?
No, we're listening.
Well, like I said, I think he's done. He quit a lot after that last SEC tournament game. He quit then, guys. His feelings is hurt, but you know he didn't catch near the heat Sam did. I don't know why he's mad. We didn't pick them players and we didn't coach them. You know what I mean?
He picked every one of them, and he misevaluated, I guess would be the clearest way to communicate that. I mean, he went for guys that he thought could play offense, and he'd teach them defense, is my opinion, and they never got to the level of playing defense he needed. So I think that wandering eye has been looking around the landscape for months, not days, not weeks.
Agree. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. That's all I had.
Some people quit and don't leave their job. That happens. Think about your workplace out there listening. You know that guy over there in the corner, over there in accounting, hell, he's checked it in. He don't care.
Office space.
Well, I you know, whatever that means. So,
You hadn't seen Office Space?
I don't guess so.
Okay.
Office, the show?
The movie.
Oh, no, I have not.
Need to
check that out?
The analogy
is comparable. I have an old phrase that someone told me once. If you're gonna quit, have the courtesy to leave.
So, if you're gonna quit, have the courtesy to leave.
I don't know if that's where we're at. I think this comes back to everything's hunky-dory when you're winning. When you're making the tournament, you go into the Sweet 16. It's like I said a minute ago, and I want to come back to this again later on in the show. It's about accountability. Man, when things are good, the work's getting done, and you're winning at a high level, think about it in your own workplace. When you're having record quarters or big years, high ratings, whatever it is in your industry. You've sold more life insurance policies than you ever have before, or whatever it is in your widget factory. Yeah. Not a lot of accountability because things are working well. But when, man, we were down 8% over same quarter last year, man, we didn't meet our quota or whatever goals aren't being met, then the bosses have to manage a little differently, right? And that's when you find out, you know, who wants to stick through the leaner times. It's cyclical to a great degree in many walks of life. I don't think basketball's a lot different. You're going to have ups and then you're going to have downs. It's how you respond in the downs. And sometimes people respond by looking for a greener pasture.
And Melvin, as we bring in Richard Davenport now into the conversation via the McCarty Daniel hotline, brought up the NIL aspect to this, which I wonder what Arkansas basketball is and where it was after the season, late in the season, and what would have to be this next year, and potentially what it could get if it could get a shot in the arm, depending on if they hire someone, if Musk leaves. This is all contingent if this report is accurate, if Musk takes the USC job, if they move on to a new head coach, which has not happened to what we know of, just reporting the again. But
apparently, there's an interview. There's at least a first date, maybe.
Yep. So, Richard, as we welcome you in, what have you made the last 24 hours or so, where it seems like Arkansas fans are going ballistic, and rightfully so, on the potential movement of their head coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of moved a little quickly, even though you kind of saw it a little bit, you know, kind of start going in that direction last week with the video. Then obviously on Monday when the podcast came out, you knew that you knew there was some shaky ground for sure. I think Arkansas fans are so passionate about everything related to the Razorback program, and when you have a coach that's going to two Elite Eights and a Sweet 16, and Arkansas, other than the 90s, it's been a dry spell. And you have a coach that has done what Coach Muss has done. Obviously, it kind of hurts to think that he may leave, but that's where we are, and I can't imagine him coming back right now, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I guess stranger things have happened.
So on that note, Richard, let's say this blows over and Eric Musselman comes back. How receptive do you think this fan base would be with him entertaining other job offers and then still winding up back as the Arkansas head coach?
I think the majority of the fan base would probably welcome him back. It just depends how you sell it. I mean, let's face it, you're going to have to spin it some way and come up with a reason why you went and interviewed with another school. I think it's just how well it's handled. But at the same time, if you say, I realize that what we have here is special, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to continue to be the coach at Arkansas. Stuff like that kind of sells. So I think the majority of the fan base would say, welcome back. There would be some that he'd probably would have lost during the process, but I think the majority would probably, at least in my opinion, would welcome him back.
Richard Davenport with us on the McClarty Daniel Hotline. Here's my question, Richard, is all the time spent, the day now out to California at least to interview, whatever's going on there, how far back is that setting you in the transfer portal and getting the needed work done there? And if you have to make a change right now, how far behind are you going to be in reconstructing this roster?
Yeah, right now everything's on hold. There's no doubt about it. Until you have a definite, answer of where you're going to be with the basketball program, whether Mus is going to come back or what have you, everything's on hold. The good thing is, I guess, the dead period starts the 4th and goes through the 11th because of the Final Four. So there's no visits or that were going to happen during that time period. So if something moves quickly and they announce Musk to USC today or tomorrow, then, obviously there's no doubt that, no AD is going to be left flat-footed and not have a plan. And
yeah.
And if you have somebody, you've had kind of in your back pocket, and you move as quickly as you can and let them start to get to work. And obviously the whole roster, I mean, right now you get you got seven guys technically, with the addition of Cohen, committed from UMass. I mean, you got seven on the roster right now. I would tend to think you'd have a complete turnover on the roster. There may be one or two that may stick around. Who knows? You just don't know. But it is going to be a massive turnover. I guess that we've kind of seen over the last few years, to be honest with you, a few times. But it's going to be challenging. But the portal goes till May 1st, but it's it gives you plenty of time to evaluate and the portal and also high school kids and start having official visits in June.
Real quick, in your opinion, how long does all of this take to come to a head? Do we know one way or the other?
I think we'll know something pretty quickly.
24 hours?
Yeah, okay. I would be surprised if it went beyond that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So Tyler texts in saying, I'm pushing Muss away. How can he come back? I think I've been very complimentary of Eric Musselman in his tenure here. He's pushing himself out, Tyler, and to everyone listening. If this
You're not the one interviewing. No. You're not carrying him out there. You're not flying him on your private plane.
This is on his own accord, his own action.
He made this choice.
And go back to something you said earlier, when things are great, there is less accountability in every work situation, regardless if it's coaching or a normal office, desk job, normal cubicle. If you have the numbers, then there's going to be less micromanaging. And I don't know, I don't think Hunter Yurecek is a micromanager per se, but he's having, he had to manage more because he has to deal with donors. He has to deal with prospective NIL people that would be willing to donate to the basketball program. And he gets asked these questions and he gets asked all these different things on why the basketball program faltered and failed this year. And so he, in turn, if I had to guess, had more rigorous conversations with Eric Musselman that he probably did not take too kindly to, knowing his nature and knowing his personality.
When, go back to when we were all kids. When you brought home that report card with A's on it, there wasn't a lot of accountability for mom and dad, was there? Man, you slip in the house for a, after a 9-week period or whatever, and you got a couple more C's or a D on there that doesn't meet expectations. You know, the old TV got turned off, or depending on your age, maybe the Xbox or your Nintendo when I was a kid was taken away till those grades were brought up. You know, we've seen on occasion where kids or their parents take them out of basketball or football for a while because their grades aren't meeting expectations. We've all been taught accountability in different ways, but my point being, when you had all A's on there, mom and dad didn't have a lot of accountability for you. When you're making the Elite Eight, you go into the Sweet 16, and those are really the, you know, the levels of measuring results in basketball, because we could go back and look at the conference record even last year that was 8-10. This year we know it, you know, the whole record was a game below 500. Clearly not meeting expectations. There's some C's and D's on that report card right now. And Hunter Yurecek doesn't have an all-A's report card to get to. And I think this comes back to accountability. You know, nobody seeks accountability very often in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of your age, regardless of your environment. And I think when you pay somebody, you know, $4 million, and football coaches in some places make a lot more than that. There's a few basketball coaches that make more. He's top 15 compensated basketball coach. You feel like you're beyond some of that accountability. You do things the way you feel entitled because of the setup you have. And I think this comes back pure and simple to accountability. You know, things have been hunky-dory while you're making the Elite Eight. I can see it in my mind, that video of Hunter Yurecek. Where was it at? Where he's running around celebrating with the fans that had traveled.
Indianapolis.
Into Indianapolis. That was, you know, to celebrate the Razorbacks. They make the Elite Eight. Was that after the Oral Roberts game? I'm trying to remember.
I believe so, yeah.
You know.
99%. That are Texas Tech.
You think about the fans that made the sacrifice to go there or to San Francisco.
During COVID.
During all, when the economy was uncertain for many. It was good for some, bad for a lot of us. Fans were there. Loved unconditionally. Now, we loved the results as much as we loved Eric Musselman. But in the end, I don't remember many fans this past season saying Mus wasn't the guy for the job. You know, the blame fell maybe in some places it shouldn't have. You know, people question some of the players out of the transfer portal and some of the process. But, Ty, I don't remember a lot of these fans saying, hey, we got to find a different coach. You remember taking many of those calls or reading many of those texts? No. But here it is, the first apparent sign of some accountability and some difficult waters. And we're looking, you know, we're taking interviews and looking elsewhere. I think you got to feel a little disrespected out of that. Just like I was talking about that video, Hunter Yurecek surrounded by fans who made the sacrifice to go there. Fans that went to Nashville. There were fans that went this year, despite the kind of season you had. We're there on the worst night of the tournament to be playing on that Wednesday night. Fans made the sacrifice to be there. So, fans have been asked to pay more for tickets, donate more to keep their seats. You know, does any of that mean anything? I guess it's just the world we live in right now.
And I think when it comes to this discussion, you can jump in here with us via the McCarty Daniel Hotline, 877-377-6963. I know that Los Angeles is not home per se. California as a whole is what we call it, even though he's not technically from there. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You a lot of you live in Arkansas and you've had places to live elsewhere, but you live here because it's home to you. So I would understand it from that perspective. But what I what is hard for me to get over and contemplate, like, I would understand Eric Musselman, like, the home is one thing. I would also understand they had a good season last year. The Kansas job popped open. The Kentucky job popped open. UCLA popped open. One of the blue bloods in college basketball.
And Mus said,
and he was interviewed and ended up hiring. And I would say, I get it. I understand that. Now, I hope he would not make disparaging comments like the late Eddie Sutton did, talking about crawling in Kentucky. But that makes sense. But for all of you listening, does it make sense? And this is not my words. This is the words of every college basketball analyst out there that would tell you to your face that Arkansas is a better basketball job to USC.
That's a rhetorical question.
And it's almost like a slap in the face. It's like you're downgrading, right? If it plays out and he ends up taking this job, I have to ask that asterisk every time. Even though I think it's going to happen, it hasn't happened just yet. The interview to me, and I use this word now, it just seems like a formality. Like, you're not, this would not, I don't know if Arkansas let it get out, if USC let it get out, if Muss's camp let it get out.
But all of them?
Yeah, you can't fly out there and then not take the job. I mean, something wild would have to happen in the next 2 or 3 days.
Why the heck is he having an interview? He's as good as I believe he is, and I think you do as well. And the USC job's on the shelf. We all know it's on compared to the Arkansas job. Why in the world do you even have an interview, man? Well, they should just tender the offer sheet and move on. I mean, you think he needs to go out there to see the practice facility? No. Think he needs to understand, you know, the neighborhood he might want to live in? No. None of that. To me, I don't even understand that process of it.
Maybe
to me, Eric Musselman's on a level he shouldn't have to even interview.
Maybe the interview is more of a, again, maybe it was a, the report, it could be accurate from the sense of that Mus is going out to Los Angeles, but the interview could be an incorrect way of framing what's happening today. That would be the response I would have to that question. Is that fair for me to speculate on that?
Again, speculate's the key word and all that, but I think we both agree Mus is a good enough coach, and USC's in their place in college basketball, that they would be lucky to have him.
If he wants out, then he needs to leave. And this is, I don't know how you could come to the conclusion of him not wanting out if he's even interviewing for the job. I agree with you.
And as a fan, and you, I mean, you went to Indianapolis, you went to San Francisco. Now, you know, you were working, and someone else was paying your bills. And someone else was paying your way. But for everyone else that paid their own way, took vacation time, used their Hilton Honors points, whatever it was to get there, paid the money for the tickets. You know, a sold out arena. You know, you couldn't get a ticket the last couple of years. I mean, sold out season tickets. As a head coach, that's a dream for a head coach with a 19,000 seat arena. Talks of remodeling your arena and updating and spending.
Based on your specifications and recommendations from the Chase Center in San Francisco that you played in.
So is none of this enough? Because I don't think anyone's got a hand in his back pushing him out the door. It's certainly not the fans. Now, I mean, I think he's hard to work with and around and for and whatever. And I don't imagine he's a lot of fun, you know, if you're in that administration at times up there. In fact, I know he's not. But, you know, you got to feel a little bit like you're getting slapped in the face here. Collectively, tickets cost more this last year. Donations went up. All of it.
There was more of an investment in Arkansas.
And we answered the call, to borrow the old phrase.
Yeah.
Sold out the arena.
There's more than, and I would guess the NIL money that was raised was more than it was the previous couple years. So there was more of an investment from the Arkansas fan base than there's probably ever been from a financial standpoint. And the season didn't go according to plan. And now your coach is in the interview process of exiting.
And don't tell me it's Northwest, and no one's suggesting it's Northwest Arkansas, because where do all these coaches and people that have been here before oftentimes stay or even come back to and retire? Northwest Arkansas.
Northwest
they
Arkansas.
Moved back here because it's a great place to live. We all know that, and they figure it out too. So, I don't know. I mean, what more can you do as a fan base than what you've done to support that coach and this basketball program?
Well, we've got some calls to get to on the McCarty Dinner Hall. We got one open line. So, if you want to jump in, 877-377-6963. Russ Daniel and company definitely getting their money's worth today based on the text and the calls that we've received. All right, let's start with John, who's in Fort Smith. John, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, it's pretty straight and simple what's going on today. He's been offered the job, and he's going out there to accept it, and he won't be flying back. I mean, all the national guys are saying it that's in the know. My bigger question is this. Guys that are close to the program are saying that he's been looking for a way out for even before the season started. So my question is, what happened? Where did the relationship between him and Juracek sour? I don't think this happened in the last couple months or maybe even during the season. Supposedly he's been looking for a while. And so that's the bigger question I have is, man, what happened? Like, when did, you know, I know the season went bad, but if he was looking before the season started, which I believe from some people I've talked to that are, you know, very close to the program, that's exactly what was going on, that he was putting feelers out before the season even started. So, man, what happened there? Because I agree with Tommy. It's a slap in the face. You're not going to get better support than you're getting here. You're certainly not going to get it at USC. I mean, USC is, you know, it would take
four games for them to have the amount of fans at one game at Arkansas by comparison. Four games. Thanks, John, for the call.
Yeah. And I think Musk has had a wandering eye for months. I don't know if it's been before the season, but this is also part of just looking at his resume. It's also part of what he has done throughout his career. Now, some of that's just the nature of professional basketball and what happens there. But, you know, what is it like? Like he's had more than a dozen jobs in a decade or something like that. So, I mean, I'd have to get the media guy out and look through it. But it's two college jobs.
A lot of other jobs. All right, next call, we'll go to Ben in Fayetteville. What's up, Ben?
Guys, man, this is bad news, but I don't think that this is unexpected. I mean, we know that Musk wants to go back to the NBA. California is where he's from. The question I have and the thing that I looked at, I don't think this is on Musk. I think some of this is on Juracek. If you look how good that Houston has become since Juracek left Houston, look at that. Look at some of the other hires that Juracek has made here that have not worked out the way that maybe everybody wanted. So now you think about who does Juracek hire next? He left Houston in 2017. Look at Houston's basketball record since he left and how many Elite Eights, Final Fours that Houston has been to. Check that out. You guys are the best. Take care. Have a good one.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, I can't remember the timeline if Juracek hired Sampson or if Sampson was hired before/after. I don't know. I mean, he hired Musk, and Musk took you to the first Elite Eight since 1995. So that wasn't a bad hire. I know Mike Nabors.
Well, it's his best hire at this point.
Yeah, I know.
And now the fact that there's not been change in your women's basketball program. Because many expected after the season that the women's team has had, there's been no change to this point. Maybe it all comes into focus because none of this has caught Hunter Juracek or probably anyone in the inner circle off guard. But conducting two coaching searches at once probably is more than you'd want to ask of an AD. And maybe it's all coming into focus why some of the things that has happened has and things that haven't happened yet haven't.
And the other thing, Ben, you kind of alluded to it. If this plays out like I think it's going to, and Hunter Juracek, Eric Musselman takes the USC job, do you trust Hunter Juracek to make a good basketball hire? Because let's be abundantly clear about something at 7:39 this morning on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. This is a really good basketball job. It's not the best in the SEC. That one is in Lexington, Kentucky, Lawrence, Kansas. There's other better jobs.
He's elevated it. He's made it better since he arrived.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say elevated. He just brought it back into focus. Like, this is a Sutton, Richardson, and then Richardson, Sutton, Muss. Like, that is the order of the basketball coaches that have been here in Fayetteville. And all it's done, I mean, I'll give Doug Gottlieb credit. You woke up a sleeping giant. Yeah. Like, this is, we have a really, I can't say great because it's not great, but we have a really good basketball program in Fayetteville. And there will be a lot of interested coaches out there that you might not think would be interested, but they are going to be. If you ask the coaching community, which is the only thing that matters in this discussion, it's not what fans think, it's not what athletics directors think, it's what coaches think. And you ask him about the job here with the Arkansas basketball program and playing in Bud Walton Arena, every single one of them will tell you it's a really, really good job. And that's the only thing that matters in this discussion when it comes to the possibility of Eric Musselman leaving as your basketball coach and the perspective or the prospect of who you could go get, which is going to be wide-ranging.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, we're going to do this pretty quick this morning because I know we still got some calls to get to. Arkansas baseball beats Arkansas State 13-0 yesterday in a quick game. Here is one of the highlights from yesterday. Nolan Souza, again, going yard. It was pretty encouraging to see. And I just like the fact that Souza was joking about it after the game. Still not used to it as a Hawaiian. A little cold here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
The cold's not fun. I've never been in the cold before. I've never experienced like a real winter or anything. And I thought once it got warm, we were done with the cold. So this cold coming back is kind of weird, but we get through it.
Nolan and Vahiva, yeah. Two guys from Hawaii having to adjust. Their old coach, or I guess Nolan's coach, Rick Nomira, played here at Arkansas. And I think
I'm with him. I thought it was going to stay warm too. And then like yesterday,
that's a
beef. I left the house and it was like 60 something. And by dinner time, it was 50 degrees.
That's a beef of mine this morning. I can't really complain about much, but that is a beef. When Arkansas looks like it's on the verge of spring weather, I know we're in spring, it ends up reverting back to cold. It wasn't, again, 30 degrees yesterday.
Almost like having a little coach get you to an Elite Eight.
Yeah, it's part of that. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning, brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
Brad is in Bentonville this morning on the McCarty Dana Hotline. What's up, Brad?
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to make a point that any coach that comes to Arkansas with this current regime or is currently there can say, well, look, you brought back Bobby Petrino. Who cares if I go and have a dinner date with USC? You know, what are y'all going to do about it? Nobody's going to be upset about it. You're going to forgive it and let me come back. So I think Musselman looks at it and sees a little bit of a weak athletic director and says he'll do anything to win. He'll compromise and things that he may have not approved of before. As long as I'm producing, he won't care.
I'd also, you know, I see maybe a little bit from the other side, Robert, and the fact that, Brad, if Musk wants to leave, is the USC job really the best he can do? I mean, I think we all agree the Arkansas job is better. As far as the world of basketball, forget the money and all that. It's a step down, right?
And the Michigan job was better. The Louisville job was better.
Better than USC. Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as it's better than Arkansas.
Yeah, to the USC comparison.
Right.
SMU, I would not think is better, and yet any infield left USC for SMU.
Yeah. That's a lot of what you need to know right there.
I think Michigan and Louisville are clear clear front runners when you compare the USC job.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's career suicide if he takes his job because he's way too far down the track for a foolish comment like that. But clear step down, but also, I mean, he's a coach that has not had a winning record in a couple of years in conference play and didn't have a winning record for the season this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, your record is your resume.
Robert's in Fort Smith. What's up, Robert?
Hey, guys, we keep talking about a step down. I think it's a step down for a job-wise, but for contact-wise, NBA-wise, I think if that's what he wants to do, it's going to help him more because he just has to get on a plane to fly to see these NBA people or all of his contacts. They're right there in his back pocket. If he wants to go in the NBA eventually, they're right there, and he gets to talk to them all the time. You know? It sucks for us, but, you know, that's just what I'm thinking.
I don't think he has that much of an NBA desire at this juncture in his career, Robert.
You didn't think he had a desire to leave Arkansas a few weeks ago either, but so who knows? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you may be right, but we're speculating.
How much do you think Danielle has influenced Musa's?
Yeah, that was the text we got from Joe and Jasper.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're married, if you're going to look for another job, is your wife going to have influence on that?
Do you think she's kind of driving the bus, so to speak?
I wouldn't have any way of accurately answering that or knowing that.
Yeah, it's just speculation.
Ty, you were over there for Easter dinner. What did she have to say?
Easter dinner, yeah. You know what? It was didn't come up. It was a contentious discussion, yeah. But we made it. We made the work regardless. I
don't know. I'm speculating, and they can talk about pool house and him sleeping out there and all this stuff. He gets his way a lot at work, it appears. He runs things his way with an iron fist. Would you say that's accurate, the way he runs his program? Mm-hmm. I would guess things at home probably aren't a 180.
They aren't a 180?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say
I'm going to guess they aren't a 180 at home either.
Well, you run this office with not reckless abandon. What's the word I'm looking for? With an iron fist, and but it's a 180 at home, right? Yeah. You've been open about that before on this show, correct?
I don't know if it's a complete 180. Maybe a 90. Maybe a 90.
What's the maybe extra half there? Trying to do the math in my head real quick.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Clay, welcome into the program this morning. It's been fast and furious thus far, and I know that there has been no breaking news on the final decision one way or another for Eric Musselman and his future, but what did you make of the initial report that came out yesterday from On3 that he's interviewing for the USC job today?
Well, I never doubted that there would be interest from him. I didn't know whether Southern Cal, in fact, I talked about it last week. You know, it's like you just had a coach with a losing season. Do you want to dive right back into that? And can that be sold in L.A.? But I figured he would have interest. And I've always, when you talk to a coach and they explain maybe decisions that they made, and oftentimes, you know, the family has a role in that, and I do not think Danielle was real happy with, you know, things on Twitter and how things went this year. And California's been their safe haven. I mean, Christmas time, you have 3 days off, and man, he's on a plane, and you know, he sends the players home, and And he went to California for 2.5 days. I mean, I'm talking about the family. And that's just that's a sign. You know, it's like that's our place. That's where we want to be. And I get that. That's where he's from. And
that's why you live. That's why you live near the river, right?
That's
why you
moved, correct.
That's why you didn't move near the White River in the Norfolk.
Your place.
Yeah.
And so does your family, is my point. And that wasn't a fun year for Danielle. And if that's their happy place, then you know they have a chance to do that. You know, I went back, listened to a podcast that Bo Mattingly did, just a hog pod. I think you can find it. It might be between his first and second year, but it's been a while back. You know, when things got hot and going good, you know, he did a pod. The first year was not, you don't really know what was about to happen because they, you know, they suspended the season, you know, during the SEC tournament. Or I guess maybe, was it before the SEC tournament?
No, it was during. Yeah.
He beat Vanderbilt and they were going to play South Carolina. Yeah.
So there, you know, we didn't really get to see that his, you know, what his postseason magic was, you know, which happened the next year. And I think that podcast happened about then. And Bo asked him what he wanted his legacy to be, and he says, when I'm gone, I want fans to really, really miss me. I mean, it was just weird at the time, and it's weird now. You know, in other words, he could see in his mind that he would be someplace else, not be here. And the coaches that you've always heard at Arkansas, they say, this is the place that I can retire. This is the place my family likes best. I just don't think that's the way it is for him.
All right, Clay, about a week or so ago, you gave young Ty a really good journalism lesson here on the air about double-checking and figuring out what you've got before you go with it. I want you to look at this reporting because we've got really one report from a veteran reporter out there, but it's on a message board behind a paywall. This is a guy that covers the program. As you've looked at the reporting on this interview, what's your analysis of that? Because you always said the news will break from the other end. Is this the news breaking, or what's your analysis of the reporting?
I don't know what you're talking about specifically. You know, and I can understand how you want it to be a little veiled, but it's I mean, you don't give publicity to, you know, somebody reporting rumors. You know, you check the rumors. That's your job. But I think it did break there. You know, first of all, they had to have an opening, and they didn't, you know, at this time last week. That was still playing out. Andy Enfield to SMU took a little longer. And, I mean, they probably had to do some betting on their end to make sure what they're getting. Mm-hmm. That also gave Southern Cal a chance to do their vetting, you know, if there needed to be some. But I just get this feeling that some of this has gone on behind the scenes for a long time, and that search firms – They have vetted Eric Musselman, and that's the way it happens. And a lot of times, but it does have to break on the other end first. But I do think that there is a lot of information flowing out of the Musselman camp, and I'm talking about assistant coaches, families, and that happens often. That's when things are imminent, then those people feel comfortable talking because they know they're not going to be here anymore. They don't worry about that. They're worried about, you know, their next stop. And are they going to LA? You know, some of them are. Some of them probably are not. You know, that's often the time when a coach can, if things aren't right on his staff, then he can reshuffle the deck a little bit. But sometimes it's hard in the middle of recruiting because, you know, well, this guy's got the in on this guy, and I really need him to stay for at least a few more weeks. But I think there's some of that information coming out from the Arkansas camp that wasn't at this time last week.
Okay, because I look at that, and that's the one thing that gives me a little bit of pause on this and not get too far down the tracks. We still have essentially one report from one guy that people have ran with and cited that report.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. But I've seen there's been information on national sites. National reporters have talked about it, that they think he's gone. And I don't think they're using that report. Mm-hmm. I mean, those guys are a little better than that. They're going to dig. And some of these guys have sources in L.A. I mean, and I know who they are. So, yeah, it's – yeah, I – Yeah, I haven't worked on the, you know, really hard news in a long time. I mean, it's been, since I moved over here, that was a calculated decision. I pulled myself out of a lot of situations, so I'm not in the loop on this. And, you know, but I do know that there is talk coming from within that staff at Arkansas, where that, you know, that you can find out that he's interviewing, because they're mm-hmm. they're talking about it, and
yep.
some of them may know what the result of the interview is going to be. Oftentimes, where they're trying to find out anything. They're trying to convince him to come if he's on an interview like this. If he's the first one, they were sitting on go, as they say.
Yeah. We were talking about earlier how the. I know you don't like to get into telling people how to feel, and particularly
well,
fans.
It doesn't usually work, Tommy.
Well, I know, but I just wonder, will there be a sense of disrespect from the people that bought the tickets to fill that arena this past season? The people that went to Indianapolis and San Francisco and followed this team in the tournament, the people that went to Nashville this year, despite the team having to play on Wednesday night, you know, I would imagine it would feel much like a slap in the face when this fan base has responded and done everything they need to do, and there's been no push in the back from the fans to roll this guy out of here.
Not one person.
The first sign of a tough season and a little accountability for your performance, it feels like, hey, we're just going to find a greener pasture. That's kind of how I feel this morning, as someone who bought season tickets with a company's money. But the reality is, that's something I'm held accountable for. You know, my point is, they filled that arena. They sold every seat based on what they've done. And now at the first sign of trouble, just
Clay, if I could, I'd like to field this one first. It is a slap in the face to even interview.
To take the job, it always is.
Yeah, but to,
it always is
to with every single fan knowing that you are. And by the way, that report has been confirmed by multiple outlets here. Yeah. I can't 100% guarantee the authenticity, but it seems pretty authentic.
It
is a slap in the face to every single one of you. So you don't even have to be a season ticket holder. You can just be a fan to even interview. It's one thing to like have your, like, sometimes agents do things without permission, or they're just trying to get their guy a raise or whatever. But this guy's interviewing for this job. I don't know how you look at it, anything else than a slap in the face. And Clay, to go off of Tommy's question, how would you come back from this if you're Eric Musselman?
Yeah, so I'll take you back to a different time. Houston Nutt has some modest success at Arkansas, and it's looking back, it might be better than we thought then. And he flirted with Nebraska, and then really, really, I think, was interested in the LSU job. And he goes out actually to the airport, to get on a plane. He didn't do it. And Coach Broyles told him at the time, says, you've lost a good chunk of the fan base just because of what you just said, Tommy and Ty. I mean, it's like it is a slap in the face. It's like you ain't going there. Nebraska, we don't have to play you. But we're not going to play you. And the fact that you thought about it, you must not love the helmet the way you said you love the helmet, mm-hmm. if you would go consider LSU.
Yeah.
Well, and I was told by the people that were really close to Jimmy Johnson when he was head coach at Oklahoma State, and he's interviewing. He went after, he was after the Arkansas job, and then he took the Miami job without anybody knowing that he had, that someone did come to Stillwater and interview him. He didn't go there, but he knew that it couldn't get out again that he was going to interview. The fan base was upset,
yeah.
And that's going to happen every time you interview. So a sitting head coach oftentimes is not going to have an official interview like this, yeah. because it is tough to go back home after that. It's not home anymore.
But, from a fan perspective, I know we had a little spat and a little fight over dinner last night, but I thought we were going steady. I didn't know you were going to go on another date with somebody else. That's that's kind of how it feels.
Well,
we've been dating a long time. What are you doing?
What I will
taking
say
someone
to
else's
that,
call.
Yeah, Tommy, all that's correct. You know, it's and you put it together well. But the other part about it is that if you had Eric Musselman the last 5 years, as much as we, and I'll use Ty's words, as much as we've dove in, we know that they love California, specifically Southern California. And if there is a good job open there, that's always going to be, and I'll use your word, Tommy, that's the worry. That
yeah,
could
but it
happen.
Was UCLA
so
I was worried
surprising.
About.
Yeah, but it's but USC's a good place. I mean, it's a good job.
Not now, as good as this one.
Here's the big if on this whole deal. I think they must have upgraded what they're going to spend on basketball if he's going there, because they haven't spent $4 million. And we all know that dollars in Southern California come up short. So if he's not getting $4 million, then he took a huge pay cut in what he's going to have at the end of the month.
And when you think about your basketball program right now, you got to think about the kids on campus. Josh Cohen just committed, the UMass kid. You think about the kids that are currently still on campus, and Tremont Mark, Caleb Battle, I know those are the two notable names, but what's going to happen with them? Something that either Eric Musselman's going to have to deal with, or the new coach, too. David is in Washington, D.C. this morning on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. David, what's going on, man? There goes David.
Thank you.
I appreciate you listening in Washington, D.C. Would have loved to hear
There's
your thoughts.
I think we have a delay. He's so far away. There's a delay.
Might be. But that is a question on the recruiting side of things that Dave posed this morning, because that is, again, for any prospective head coach, if it plays out, and Clay, I made the statement earlier, I could be entirely wrong, but I think Muss is going to wind up being the new USC head basketball coach.
Yeah. So I think that when you talk about recruiting and what's left, and you know the coach that you hire, you know he'll retain some of those. They may all go, but he'll retain some of them, because some of them are comfortable living in Fayetteville and they like their NIL deal. And you can always sweeten the pot a little bit, especially for returning players in my eyes. But you can put together a roster in pretty short order. And that's what he was going to do. He was going to replace 7, 8, 9, just like he's done the last couple of years. And I watched the way Chris Beard put a roster together in the last 12 months at Ole Miss, and he did a pretty nice job. Now, they didn't get in the NCAA tournament, and they came short. But a coach that has craft and recruiting ability will put together a roster at Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I don't know who it's going to be, but it's a pretty nice – I've always said Bud Walton Arena, because it's 19,000 seats, is a pretty good insurance policy.
Yep.
And you will – you know, you've already got a pool for coaches at $4 million that you don't have to break anything. You've got the structure to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That will attract a good coach.
That's top 15 money. And they probably can inch that up if needed to get the right name, because they need a name right now that will energize this fan base to get involved with the NIL collective. That's one thing that they have not been able to turn the corner on.
Hopefully
a new hire maybe helps them turn the corner on this edge fund that they can't seem to get the public excited about.
So they're going to get $1 million from Southern Cal, or wherever he goes, if he leaves. Let's just say if he leaves. I'm not saying that he's gone. So that's, you know, that you take that and you use it to, you know, for the buyout of the coach that you're going. You know, if it's a mid-major, you may not even need that. That goes straight back into the program. Doesn't go to NIL. That you can't take that money and put it in. It's kind of funny. I don't know how that works, but it seems like 90% of the ways that you can raise money cannot be an NIL.
Hunter Yurachek will be in a good position to attract top candidates just simply on finances.
He's a basketball guy. I mean, he's got a big love for basketball. But I do think, and when I talk to fans, they did not want him fired, but they weren't happy. they did not like the way this season went. And I'm not talking about wins and losses. I mean, it was dysfunctional. And everybody is like, well, if it's dysfunctional, why? Well, you know, the guy that's got to control all that is the head coach. And it just never seemed like he had it under control.
Yeah.
And that bothered a lot of fans, a lot of technicals, a lot of, a lot of, like I say, dysfunction.
Yeah.
And it just was a strange year in that you can beat Duke and Purdue and, you know, you turn around and, you know, just a few days later, you know, you lose from, you know, a team in North Carolina that nobody here had ever heard about. I mean, it's not that they couldn't play, but it's like you lost some games. It's like, that's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
And there's nobody, you know, there's nobody that could explain any of that other than to say this team was dysfunctional, and it was.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.